Blog Talk Radio.
I was a hard drinking sinner with blood on my hands. I was a hard drinking sinner, a gun in my hands, drinking 40 pounds for dinner till I met a big man. And the man said, how do you do? Conversations that much before I actually have them.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about a conversation, so I'm working myself up.
Don't think about it.
I'm trying not to, but it just happens.
Best thing about this show, it's unscripted.
It is unscripted. I got through this. This is me throwing the script out.
The script that we never had.
No script.
You're throwing out.
It's gone. I had it all laid out. Actually, I do have the questions laid out on my piece on my notebook here. I actually wrote questions out this and didn't type them out. And I, get a pen, sound effects. And,
the most annoying sound effects ever.
You don't like that?
No.
You don't like this?
No.
Okay.
No.
I wrote the questions out, and I swear by the end of
like I got to 8 questions. I could barely feel my hands. I was like all gnarled up. So for those people, we actually have a bona fide author on the show tonight.
And we're both blessed to know. She's an amazing human.
Yes, we are blessed to know her. She has graced us with her presence here in Richmond. She has crashed on our couch and on our big comfy chair behind us. We're talking, of course, about Celestial J.W. McBride. And I just made up the J.W. part.
Like, where did that come from? But, okay.
That's just whistling.
Whistling Dixie
that's,
over here.
That's right. But anyways, I think she told me she writes her notes, she writes her stories on a piece of notebook paper. I could halfway, look at this, halfway through a page, and I'm already can't even function.
When I wrote my book in high school, I think I had 5 notebooks filled up.
You wrote a book?
Yeah. It's in the garage out there.
And you wrote a book.
In the garage.
What's it called?
I don't even remember. I don't even think it had a title ever.
What was it about?
So it was about a girl. So if you know or if anybody's ever read any like V.C. Andrews books, it's very V.C. Andrews.
Is that like one of those romance novels?
No. No, it's kind of like...
We could do that.
I don't want to say it's sci-fi or it's not horror. It's not sci-fi. It's just kind of like mystery.
Pretty sound. You two should talk. You know what? We should talk to an author. We should have an author on the show.
What?
What do you think?
Oh, my gosh.
I think I can make that happen.
Do you think we know any?
I think... I don't know. I figured we just said we had an author on the show.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, there goes that bit out the window. You see, this is so much better when you're on the show with me.
Why?
Because... Because I can do this, I can talk to someone.
Banter.
And not have, exactly.
It's called banter.
I'm bantering, and better than banter with myself. I do that at night when I'm alone, just saying.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets weird.
It does. It gets weird a lot, but I'm okay. I'm a weird guy.
He is.
Very.
I'll vouch for that.
Yes.
But that's okay, because I'm a weird girl.
Yeah, we're freaking. We're freaking awesome.
Freaking awesome.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hey, guess what? Tomorrow night, Angie and I are going to investigate a fetish club. Is that what Hot Foul Lot is? I think it's a fetish club.
I don't know.
I think, yeah, some weird shit goes down there. And I'm not talking about the ghosts, apparently. Also, paranormal stuff goes down there, too. But we're going to go down and investigate Fallout in Richmond with Crop tomorrow night at I think it starts at 6 p.m. So if you guys want to investigate a freaky place with the freaks, come on down to Fallout if you're in the Richmond, Virginia area. If not, well, that's too fucking bad. I'm sorry.
Yep. Sorry for your log.
Yep. Move to Richmond.
Come on.
Then you wouldn't have this problem, right?
Maybe next time.
Exactly. Let's see here. Little show notes here. We have an event at Henricus Park on March 9th, I believe, with Crop. That's going to be fun.
So much.
It's always fun to go out there. And Angie and I are going to make our first public appearance since RJ was born at the Paracon style.
Paris style
at the Enigma Con at St. Albans on April 27th, I believe. And that's pretty much it.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
That's it. All right, guys. Have a good night.
See ya.
All right. Stay freaky. Oh, just kidding. All right. Let's bring on the Bonafide. And I have 2 authors on the show, apparently, because I didn't know Angie wrote a book. And I forgot my train of thought. Take it away. Introduce her.
Bring on Celestial.
There we go.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
What's up?
What is up?
Hey.
How are you?
We are good.
We're good.
Just been hanging out, talking shit about you. You know, fun stuff. All good stuff.
Yeah, I heard.
I'm good to say hi to you.
All good stuff. I didn't know you wrote a book, Ange.
Yeah, I did in high school. I actually wrote 2. I mean, they're not published, so technically I'm not an author, but...
You wrote a book?
Yes, why is everybody so shocked? I loved writing.
Because you don't tell anyone.
Like,
That's where I get it from.
Yeah,
there's a lot about me that
you.
I don't tell.
That's where I get it from.
Yes, it is. That's why my heart smiles every time I find your crumbled up pieces of song lyrics that you didn't think were good enough for your little stories. It makes me happy.
I know I didn't get from that because you can barely read.
Well, anyway, we're not going there. Say hi to Celestial.
Hello.
Now go take care,
hey,
buddy.
Jesus, okay.
So how are you doing?
Oh, it's been a day, man, but hanging in there.
Maze, that's all you can do.
I told you.
Yeah.
You're super tired. I'm super full.
I'm super tired.
Yeah, well, going back to the whole nerve thing I was talking about before, having nerves and mixed with Mexican food is not a very good combination.
Yeah, you start farting and I'm cutting this short.
Yeah, well,
I don't blame you on that one. I'll support that.
Yeah, for
yeah,
real.
Yeah, I might be like chemical warfare going on in here.
Just run
after
very quickly.
Yeah, it's actual green smoke, you know, like in cartoons.
Catch a lighter on fire with it.
Exactly. So how is Flo Rida?
It is warmer than a lot of other states, so it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
There's no snow, so that really sucks. Other than that, it is Florida. Sunshine every day,
yeah,
you know, casual rainstorms. Florida.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, you better be glad you're in Florida, not like Minneapolis or some shit where it was like negative 20 degrees outside.
Oh my god.
You can go out.
That just sounds fun. Like bundle up and then go sledding. Just saying. I know I don't live there, but I've lived in Colorado, so I understand.
It was like bad though. Like no, like if your skin was exposed to the cold or the air for too long,
frostbite.
You get frostbite. I mean, it's like not like a typical winter storm that happened. Luckily, it was only like a few days, but some of the pictures of like the lighthouses in Michigan or like Chicago were like, oh my god. It reminded me of the
I saw the one from like Chicago. Those are insane.
Yeah.
I couldn't even imagine.
That's the shit that goes right through you. You could be bundled up like super tight and you'd still be freezing cold.
Well, yeah. I can only imagine. I mean, just seeing snow. You'll be super cold, so.
And I complain when it's 30 degrees outside.
Hey, I'd much rather be cold than hot, so.
True. Amen to that. You can always put on layers. You can't always take them off.
Amen. Don't nobody want to see this once the clothes start coming off.
I do.
Shit. Maybe about 9 months ago. Got a lot of extra padding now.
Man, except 9 months. RJ's gonna be 9 months old here in a few weeks.
Yeah, and then you know what you have to be doing in about 3 months after that, right? Making a trip to the big old VA.
Oh yeah.
For RJ's first birthday party.
I can't wait. I'm gonna come see y'all.
It's gonna be fun.
One of these days we'll make it out to Florida. A lot easier for you. You don't have a kid to tote around. I don't know if we could make it down there without all the kids. If we try to go down
there
without Kimmy.
Well, there's Disney and Universal
down
there. I'm just saying, just don't come in like July because you would like die of heat stroke.
Yeah, we already did that in August, and it was pretty bad.
It wasn't that bad though.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like August was like 90, I think.
Having everything paid for, and you know.
That was
having us deal with that shit was definitely a bonus.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, show.
Definitely.
So, let's go back. Get in our way back machine. Put it in reverse. And go back to the past.
Oh, boy.
When little Celeste decided to become an author, what made you decide you wanted to become an author?
Well, I don't necessarily have a starting point that I could be like, oh, this was the day. Ever since I was young, I've always loved writing. So used to have pages and pages of writing. Would used to write, it kind of started out as movie scripts. Because I grew up in that field. I did the acting. I traveled with the movies, that sort of stuff. And then, so I was kind of used to the movie script style. So I started writing that. And then as I got older, I realized that the movie scripts don't allow you to have as many details in it. Doesn't allow you to actually, like, create the imagery for a reader. So I started writing. Yeah, it's like very like structured, no colorful details and stuff, because obviously it's for a movie, so that comes when you're filming. But I decided that I wanted to add to those details, so I started writing short stories, and then I came up with the idea for my first book, The Kermost, and I wrote that one. I really liked the storyline and everything, and I was like, huh, why don't we give it a try and see how well I do if I publish it. So I published it, and then since then I've come out with the Game of Six, and then I wrote out a list earlier so that I could be like, oh, I have this many books coming out, and I actually have 5 books that are in the editing process and should be coming out this year sometime, hopefully, or within the next year. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I could barely write a paragraph without getting losing track.
Right. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, with your comment that you made, Ryan, about your hand cramping, oh, there's tons of that. Because when I get on a roll, I just go. I don't pay attention to it. Like my Father's Angel series that hasn't been released yet, but it's kind of my baby. Been working on it for 1.5 years now. It's 5 books long. And it's going to be 7 books when it's all said and done. It is currently sitting at 8 notebooks, college ruled, handwritten. So there's been tons of cramping. I completely understand. You just build up a tolerance once you start doing it a lot.
Yeah, I think I don't usually write things. I usually type them out. So, you know, I guess I'm not really used to that writing. That's probably why I was being a little, you know, my hands were cramping up.
So, yeah, it's all about
now,
the way you write with it.
Yeah, I'm like,
oh, that's true.
I'm like straight down.
Yeah.
My pen straight. I'm probably holding it wrong. I forgot how to hold a pen. It's been that long.
With your first book, how did you set out to get published? Because I know that's, like, I think the hardest part is, I mean, it's great. Anyone can write, you know, a script. Anyone can write a book or a short story. It's just finding and knowing how to get published.
So if I say the publishing deal is easy, I would be a lie times infinity. It is probably the hardest thing to do in the writing industry, that and editing. Editing is such a pain in the butt. But with my first book, and actually my first 2 books, I published my first book when I was 16. So I wasn't really looking to necessarily publish it through a publishing company because I knew they wouldn't take it. I had no prior writing behind my name, and it's really hard. I mean, if you look at J.K. Rowling, she was declined numerous times. Stephen King, hundreds of times with their first books, and it takes years. So I was like, well, if I get a following behind me, if I just publish it out there and people like it, then I can build that following, and then later on as I start publishing more and more books, I'll start looking better to publishing companies because I have this following, I have the basically the network to help sell these books, and then they can help obviously expand that, explode it if we get with the right company. So I went with Amazon. Amazon has a program that it's now changed. It was, when I published my first two books, it was called CreateSpace, where basically I'm the publisher. I had to do 100% of the edits. I have to create the cover for it. I have to format the cover, format the manuscript, and make sure it all looks good. And then I upload it to their system, and they have really strict, like, oh, your cover is like 2 centimeters too short, you need to make it bigger and everything like that. It has since changed to Kindle Direct Publishing, which is the same program, just a little bit more, I think it's more lucrative in the end. Like, it has more options. They've basically expanded it, because when they first came out with it, they were just like, oh, this would be a cool program to for people to just publish stuff on. But it exploded. A lot of people have published on it, everything like that. It is very tedious to do, but, I mean, it gets your book out there. So that's what I did just for my first two, because I was young. I mean, I was 16 when I published the first one, and just almost 18 when I published the second one. So still really young, didn't have a backing to me. My first books ever, first time ever telling anyone that I was, like, a writer. So I was like, eh, we'll just put it out there, and I guess it turned out decent.
Yeah,
I enjoyed them.
I appreciate that.
So the way that it is now, is it a little more, is it user-friendly, more user-friendly now? Like, not quite such a, like, with the covers and all that. Would you say it's a little easier?
Not quite so tedious.
Oh, no. No, it's very tedious still. Because you have to think about it. They actually, like, they print your books there and everything like that. So most authors don't ever see that side of it. When they go to a publishing company, if they get in with the publishing company takes care of all that. They take care of formatting the cover and everything like that. But through Kindle Direct Publishing and CreateSpace and Amazon, you have that hands-on approach. But it's good and negative. It's negative because it is very time-consuming. You have to put in the hours to get it right, everything like that. But it's a good thing because you have that creative edge. So as an author, you don't always get to be able to say, this is my cover. This is what I want on my cover. This is exactly what I want, because obviously the publishing companies know how to sell. That's their job. Their job is to sell you. So you might think, oh, this would be a perfect cover for my book. But they're like, that's a good idea, but we have a better one. And most of the time, 100% of the time probably, they're gonna have the better idea, because they know the marketing behind it. They know what's popular, what catches people's eyes, everything like that. As an author, you know the backstory. So doing the Kindle Direct is, you have that freedom. Sure, you can hire someone to do it and everything for you, but you have that freedom to be like, this is what my book cover is gonna be. Now, obviously, that's good and bad, like I said, but it just gives you more freedom as terms of what you put out there, I guess.
Yeah, and plus it's good for you to know both sides as the author and as, I guess, you're a self-publisher as well.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, you kind of appreciate once you get that mark, once you get that actual publisher, you now appreciate all the time they're putting in because you had to put it in your original book.
Now we can go in the garage, dust off Angie's book, get on Kindle Publishing, and get that shit out there.
I think it needs a lot of editing first. I was like, I mean, probably about 16.
Well, there you go.
Actually, I don't even think when I started writing it, I'm pretty sure I didn't even have a driver's license yet.
Wow.
So I probably started when I was about maybe almost turning 15.
Did you have notebooks? Did you How many notebooks did you fill up?
I'm thinking that one of them was almost 12. And then the other one, I just got a huge 3-ring binder, and I used notebook paper. So it was like 2 notebooks and then just a whole bunch of loose leaf paper.
But this is good news for all the aspiring authors out there who for like, well, you know, I want to be an author, but there's no way I'm going to get published. Is that Kindle Create, what's it called again? Kindle Create?
You can pull it up either way, but it's the new name is Kindle Direct Publishing. It's ran through Amazon. But you can also look it up through CreateSpace because it's basically the new CreateSpace in a sense. They haven't gotten rid of CreateSpace because they're waiting for everyone, including myself, to transfer all their works over because they didn't automatically do that. So Amazon, get on that. Get on that automatic stuff because it's already on your system. I'm just saying.
It's absolutely amazing that you have the technology that anybody can be an author, pretty much, if you just have to take the time to go out there and do it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And honestly, in terms of reader popularity and stuff, Kindles and e-readers are through the roof right now. I mean, they're the number one sellers all the time. And I notice it with my books is a lot of people prefer e-readers. There's not as many people are buying physical copies anymore. I mean, I always love the physical side of it, holding it in my hands. I have a copy of each of my first books on my shelf just so I could be like, this is my book. Look at it and be like,
yeah, well, it's
good
to have
you
can look at it, see it, you know? Something you can be proud of.
Is it expensive?
And one day I can. What?
To do? Like, you have to put out a lot of money yourself?
No. That's also a plus side. Kindle Direct Publishing is free. What they do is...
Oh, that's nice.
Not expensive.
Oh, yeah. You can... Obviously, there's always a paid version to the free version. So the free version, you're doing everything 100% to yourself. So you're formatting it, you're putting everything together, you're editing it, everything like that. You can also do the paid version, which I haven't ever looked at. I've always done the free version, so I'm not sure on pricing on that. But they help you create the cover and everything like that through that side. But I only think it's like a couple $100 too. I don't think it's very expensive. And then how they, you're like, oh, well, if they're doing it all for free, how are they making their money back? They take a portion of your sales at the back end.
Okay.
So you never, there's no money exchange where you're like, oh, I owe them this and blah, blah, blah. It's all through when you sell a book, they take a portion and vice versa. So you're never really losing money. So I love it. That's why I did it, was because it was for a 16-year-old, it was a cheap way to publish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the downside of being so easy is that, you know, so many people can use it that you need to have something that will, you know, stand out.
Well, regardless, even with the people who go with publishing companies and get published that way, there are
so many
books and authors on, you know,
that's
in
why
the
I
world.
Like, that's why I like Celestial Books, because they have a good story to them.
I appreciate it. I try. I'm told that I'm a very wordy person, so I try not to be as wordy when I edit. So, like, when I first write them, they're in notebooks, and there are pages upon pages of notebooks. Like, the Vicrmost was, I think, a notebook and a half. The Game of Six, I'm wanting to say, was almost two notebooks long. I think it's a little longer, but not too much longer. And then obviously it transfers down. I don't have pretty handwriting, so it's very big, and so obviously it's going to take up more room when you handwrite it. But so it all transfers down and everything, but as I edit it, I'm like, this is like very, very wordy. Like, you don't need all these words.
I reckon the more you write, the worse the handwriting gets too. So at least that's how it is for me. I like nice, all nice and neat at the beginning. Then at the end, it's like chicken scratch.
Oh, the funniest thing I've noticed is during the day, apparently my handwriting sucks. But if I'm writing like late at night, like sometimes I'll get an idea at like midnight. And the problem with being a writer is you don't want to forget your ideas. So you want to be able to be like, oh, I'll write them down. So my room is covered in notebooks. Like you walk in and there's a notebook on pretty much every surface in that room. And then my phone, everything like that. So I can always just grab something and jot down a note. The problem also with that is once you jot that idea down, 12 more appear. So once you jot all those down, there's now like hundreds upon hundreds of ideas that are flowing through your head. And you're like, well, I was going to sleep sometime tonight, but probably
maybe not
anymore.
One idea leads to another and another and another.
Yeah, it's like a open that gate and it just doesn't stop.
Yep.
It's a fun process.
That's how it is. Well, it's cool because your idea is a seed. You put it in the ground, and it starts growing all these different, like roots
sprout.
And stuff. Yeah. And one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And by that time, you're, like, really into the story. And you're like, I don't want to go to bed, but I have to because I need to function.
Mm. Yeah, and if anybody ever tells you that an author doesn't get involved in their stories, they're a liar. For the sole fact,
well,
if you cry in a scene of a book, so if you're reading a book and you start crying, chances are that author cried about 8 times before you did to write that scene. They have the initial write, the edit, and all of that, and they have to read it all. So if they ever tell you that they didn't cry in the scene they wrote, they're lying and trying to save face, but they've cried. Even if it's on the inside, there was that pain that was in their stomach.
I didn't cry, I swear. Shut up. I'm not crying. Shut up. You're crying.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah, you're crying. And Nicholas Sparks didn't cry when he wrote The Notebook.
Nicholas Sparks, cold-hearted.
Snake.
Ugh. He always needlessly
kills someone. Would I be bad to say I've never seen The Notebook or read The Notebook?
I've never seen it either. I refuse to watch it.
I've never seen Notebook. I've never read 50 Shades of Grey either.
I've never seen that or read it.
I've
seems like something
definitely
I've
seen it,
write,
just
though.
Never read it.
those smut novels seem like they would be easy to write.
But they're not, though. Really, I mean, you have to set that mood just perfectly, so it's not like, you know, I mean, it's harder than you think. Even, like, I think, and of course, you know, I think even injecting romance into your novel is a little tricky because if you don't make it believable, they're not going to believe it or want to follow it or be invested in it.
Absolutely. Like one of my struggles is, that's actually one of my big struggles in writing is obviously wanting to be realistic because I write realistic. Now, my books that are coming out here soon, The Dragon Pin, and then I have a new book series that is under Top Secret Wraps that is going to be coming out soon. It is fantasy.
Ooh.
So,
we have an exclusive here, guys.
So that it's definitely less realistic than my other stories, but you still want it all to be realistic. And with a lot of things that happen is love and romance and strain in that love and romance. And so getting those emotions right is critical because you can throw off the entire book without it.
Yeah. Would you call this next, the fantasy one, a little more lighthearted or a little less serious than your next series of books coming out?
In a way, it is. I will give you a little bit of a backstory. I can't tell you what it's about because, again, it's under Top Secret Wraps. But it is a middle school fantasy. So it's similar, not necessarily similar, completely different. But if you were trying to think of in terms of lightheartedness or seriousness, think of the Magic Treehouse series.
Oh, cool.
Obviously, it's nothing like the Magic Treehouse series, but in terms of the level of fantasy and adventure that's in it is probably very similar. The lightheartedness, there is a lot more lightheartedness because obviously it's a kid's book. So kids don't like the seriousness. They don't like the violence. They don't like anything of that. But also on the flip side, we are trying to integrate a lot of life lessons into them in a way that can teach kids. So this first book is going to be about anxiety and then dealing with that. So that kind of gives you a little bit of up on this next book, but I'll be releasing it once it gets through the editing process. I'll be releasing the storyline and everything like that. So you guys should definitely, I fell in love with it. Like I wrote the entire first draft of this book. Now, obviously this is draft one of probably 60, 100 at least, you know, because through the editing process, I wrote it in 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Because I fell in love with it so much, I couldn't stop writing it.
So, can you tell us about your what's it called? Daddy's. What's the next
the Father's
book
Angel?
Book? Yes.
The Father's Angel
that's
or the Dragon Pen?
The Father's Angel is coming out next, right?
I haven't set a date on any of them. The Dragon Pen was supposed to come out first. Can't get into details on that. Kind of hit a roadblock. So, it will still come out very soon. Just probably not in the way that I was hoping it would. But that's for a different time and a different interview. The Father's Angel, I'm hoping to have the first book. Cause like I said, it's going to be 7 books long. And it touches on a very serious topic. I've sent this book to publishers, but I think that I'm going to keep sending it to publishers for a little while longer before I publish it out. I've been working on it for 1.5 years, and it touches on a very realistic topic. It touches on domestic violence, but in a different viewpoint, I guess you could say. From what most people are used to. So it is a very serious, definitely an adult series. Obviously, might have some moments of illicit effects on readers if they're, like, obviously people have PTSD from experiences and stuff like that. So it's definitely a serious book. But I love it. I think it brings light to an issue that doesn't get light brought to it a lot.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
And I'm hoping that people will like it. I've had a few beta readers on it so already, and I've gotten some really good advice and really good comments about it just in terms of the storyline and everything. So I'm hoping that I can either find a publisher or get it out on Kindle Direct Publishing once I decide which route I want to go.
I think I remember you talking about that book when you were on the show last time. Talking about
probably did.
You had this idea.
I've been working on it for a while.
Yeah. It's good to see it, you know, finally coming, you know, you got the idea for the book, and now it's almost to
come into fruition.
Yeah, seems like the light is at the end of the tunnel, so to
and
speak.
And I would think that, but the story does not want to end. I don't know why, but like any writer who writes, they understand the term when I say we don't write the stories write themselves, because you could have one idea for the story. And then you're sitting there writing, and it's going completely different. Like, you're writing the words, but it's not your idea for the story. It's whatever your brain's like, oh, this character needs to do this. And you're like, wait, what? And then you read it later, and you're like, oh, okay, I see it. I can dig it. So and I'm just letting it write itself. It's been a slow process with this book. Like I said, it's been a book series. It's a book series of eight notebooks so far. I'm working on, I think it's notebook 9 I just started, or notebook 8. I don't know. I took a break from writing it because I've been working on the dragon pin and my new CS adventures that I will keep mentioning so you guys can get hyped up for.
I'm hyped up for it already. You know, it's a super secret project.
I'm super excited for it. I think it will do really well. So,
plus working on different projects. When you come back to Daddy's Angel, was it Father's Angel?
Father's Angel.
Yeah. Maybe you look at it with a fresh set of eyes, and you'll notice. You'd be like, "Oh well, okay. Maybe we can change this, or maybe you know this character will do this instead." You'll see it in a different way.
That brings up a very valid point, and I get this question actually a lot. How do you write multiple books at one time? Well, you do and you don't. You're very focused on one book. Your brain naturally does that. Whatever book it is most excited to write, it will focus on it, right? So, obviously, Father's Angel has been a year and a half project of mine. It is always in my head. It is always waiting for that next write. However, sometimes you do hit that point where you're like, where do I want to go with this scene? Or how would someone react to this? And so your brain just, it's not necessarily you have writer's block because you know where the story goes. You know where it's heading. It's more like you want to write it in a way that obviously your readers who don't know where the story's going can either get some foreshadowing or some kind of like, oh, hey, this is coming, but you don't know what's actually coming sort of thing.
Sure.
So with that is when you go to a different book and you come back. So like going to CS Adventures and coming back now to Father's Angel, it does give you that new set of eyes. And they're like, well, how do you not mix up characters? Well, I mean, your stories are very different. All of my books, none of them are remotely similar in any way except for maybe location. Because I like certain locations, obviously. I pick locations I know. But other than that, they're all different stories. So the only thing I noticed, and I'm going to call myself out on this because it amused me, so I think it will amuse everyone else. If you read my first two books, actually, not my first two, my Game of Six book, my Father's Angel series, the Dragon Pen book, and the CS Adventures, you will see a common name that I didn't notice until the other day. I was talking to my friend Erin, and she and I were talking about like character names and how I was going to name this character in the CS Adventures, and I came up with the name Mike. The name, like, liked it in the story, blah, blah, blah. And I sat there thinking, I was like, oh, Mike's a character in the Father's Angel. Mikey is a character in the Dragon Pen, and Mikhail is the main character of Game of Six. So apparently I have a fascination with Mike, and I don't know why. So if anybody can help me with that, I'd be more than happy to figure out why I like the name Mike.
That's pretty funny.
And it was just like one of those random thoughts. I was just thinking about it, and then I was like, wait, what? So they're just like, wow, okay. And it's all obviously it's not all like, it's not all Mike. It's obviously Mikey, Michael, and Michael, and Mike. So it's all different, but it's all Mike.
Sounds to me like someone has a Mike fetish.
Apparently. And I don't know why. Because I have I don't think I have any friends named Mike. So maybe that's why. Maybe I don't have friends named Mike, and I should have friends named Mike. So
yeah, you should have
all the Mikes out there, you know, we should be friends. So.
All the Mikes out there say ho. So do you ever read your books? your old books like the Grimost or the Game of Six and think, oh damn, I wish I would have done this, or I wish the character would have done something differently. Because you say the book writes itself. You ever finish a book and then the book comes back to you like comes back and you're like, oh, maybe you shouldn't maybe I should have done this or done that.
It absolutely does. But I go by one theory, and that's already out there. Game of Six is going to have a sequel to it. That's actually probably, other than The Father's Angel, that's going to be the next book I write because I'm so pumped to write that sequel. And I've actually been thinking, because I published The Grimost when I was 16, and I will admit to anyone and everyone listening to this book or listening to this interview, I am terrible when it comes to grammar. Terrible. I can spell. I can do that. You ask me to do a grammar check on my own work, I will do the best I can. People are going to come in and be like, you put a comma where a comma didn't belong. This didn't make any sense because you put this comma. Sorry, guys. So I was actually thinking about going to the Grimost, and because I didn't really do a huge edit on it, and I've actually gotten some comments from a lot of my friends who have gone in and said that it's a little rough to read just because I was 16 at the time. Didn't really edit it like I should have. So I'm thinking about going back into that manuscript and editing it and then re-uploading it, which is actually super simple to do. Everyone's like, oh, it must be complicated. Pretty simple. But that's probably going to be a project for after the sequel and Father's Angel is done. Because Father's Angel, I want to get done here soon because, like I said, it's a super long series.
Well, you sound like you have a lot of different projects in the works. So you're going to be staying busy at least.
Yep. Bored thumbs lead to trouble. And apparently my thumbs like hardly stay bored, so
I mean everybody says idle hands are the devil's playground.
Exactly. And then it leads to me picking up a pen, and some people have seen what I can do with a pen. I write a lot. My boss is always, because I do event security, and sometimes at an event, you're there for 2-3 days before the event actually starts. So you're literally just sitting there basically making sure people coming in and out are supposed to be there. And they'll come up, I'll be writing. They'll be like, how's the book coming? It's coming, man. And it's in there writing, because what else are you going to do? You're going to fall asleep if you're up for, because shifts are like 12, 16 hours sometimes. And you're just sitting there.
You got to keep your mind busy, you know?
Exactly. And luckily with writing and not doing it on the computer is I can take a notebook anywhere with me. Take it on a plane. Mm-hmm. I can take it into a movie, which I don't do. But you can take it literally anywhere.
That'd be hard to
put it in the bag or put it in your back pocket.
I guess before a movie starts, you know, that would be quite good. But while a movie's going on, it'd be kind of hard to see.
Yeah. And I also, one of my biggest pet peeves, and I sometimes catch myself doing it, and I think a lot of authors will understand this, is life gives you inspiration, especially if you're an active writer. If you are always writing, you will see little things that give you inspiration. People, your best friends, your people you come in contact with, stupid things you see, it will all give you inspiration. And one of the biggest things that I don't like to do is like if I watch a movie and I see, oh, I really like that. Like, that's a good storyline. I cannot even remotely have that in one of my books. So I'm very critical of what I read and what I watch while I'm writing a book that it could be similar to. If it's like superhero movies, I'm in the midnight premiere every single time. But if I'm writing like a realistic storyline and then this movie comes out, probably not going to watch the movie until the realistic story is done. It's just I can't have it conflicting because people are like, oh, you copied this. Probably.
Yeah.
But so I can't let myself do that. And that's one of the things that I've like stuck to is through my writing is I want all of my books to be unique in their own way, have their own characters, follow their own storyline and try to kind of break the wall of what is normal or what is expected in a, like with the middle grade books, what's expected in a middle grade book. It doesn't have to always be in a middle grade book.
Yeah.
Mix it up. Find something new and exciting that the readers will enjoy. So that's my goal. And hopefully through these projects, I'm able to find it. And everyone's like, oh, you should pick a genre, because if you listen to anything I'm saying, I have right now four different genres that I have books in. So I have middle school horror, middle school fantasy, aliens, so paranormal, go figure, and The Game of Six, which is a crime thriller. Then you have Father's Angel, which is a family drama. You're going to have the sequel to Game of Six, which I can't tell you what genre that falls into because you guys don't know what happened. So, And and then I also have a shifter,
you gotta read the book. See?
An animal shifter book that I'm going to work on.
Now I need to do a Friday Ghost Story, and you'll be set.
That's in the works, too. So,
another super secret.
Later.
You know.
Yeah. See, everything has to stay secret until it's time to release.
You're covering all your bases, aren't you? All right. So.
My brain just doesn't
all your books.
Work.
Of all your books you have
what?
Out, which are. Of all the books you have out, which one are you most proud of?
Oh, God. Honestly, each of them I'm proud of in my certain way, because obviously I only have two books out right now that you guys can read. The Vicrimose and Game of Six. I'm proud of them both for different reasons. The Vicrimose was my very first book, very first novel I wrote, very first everything. So that's really setting the stage for every other book that I come out with. So I have to be proud of that one because it's the first. I think it could have been better, and that's why I said I'm going to probably go in and try to edit the manuscript. I love the story, and that one also will have a sequel eventually to it. So obviously you guys will be able to get resolve on that story. And then The Game of Six is obviously a crime thriller, about a famous rapper who got kidnapped, and it basically tells his journey through it while his best friend is his journey trying to find him, basically.
Yeah.
And then two sides of what occurs when all of this is going on, basically. So I think that one I'm really proud of because it has a lot of depth to it. You don't just get one side, which some authors do. Some authors thrive on one-sided stories, which and those authors do fantastic. But the way my brain works is it likes to tell every detail. So I did two-sided stories so the readers can be like, oh, I'm getting the full side. I see what's going on here, and there's no gaps. So if something happens in chapter one and chapter three, because I bounce back and forth between Mikkel and Donnie, best friend, and their journeys. Every other chapter follows them. It's normally picked up in their next chapter. So you never have any questions of, well, what happened here? Why didn't this happen? And stuff like that. So I'm really proud of that because I think it adds depth to it. And it was a much better, I think it was an easier book to follow. My brain worked and then it keeps getting better. Every book I write, I find that my one attention to detail and attention to focus on what matters is getting stronger and stronger. Like I said, the CS Adventures, I almost said it. I almost said the name of the book series. Probably would have kicked myself in the butt had I done that.
I was trying to catch you there, trying to trick you up. You know, it's been a whole been playing the whole time.
Listen, I really just want to blurt out what it's about, but I can't. I have to get it edited, have to get it done, and there's one person that has to read it before everyone else is allowed to even know what it's about. So once that happens, I'll release it, but that one person has to read it first. So
okay. Damn it.
But the focus on the attention to detail, the following, and then the journey I'm going through with the dragon pen has quite been a bumpy road. It's my first time going through the actual full publishing process, and it's exciting. But if anybody tells you it's easy and they don't want a shot after every single time they have to edit the book, they would be lying. So it's a lot of work, but in the end, I think it's making me a stronger writer. So I'm learning a lot of techniques. I'm learning more about grammar that I didn't know. So hopefully there'll be less editing in future books because I now know these things. So, but slowly and surely, I think that my books are becoming better. And everyone's like, oh, well, your first book's always going to be the worst. I disagree. I think the Kermode set the stage. So it can't be compared to the other ones because obviously, one, I was 16 when I wrote it, so everyone bear with me on that one. But two, I love that storyline. I have to say, I love that storyline. It's science fiction. It's paranormal. It has to do with aliens. So that probably went in like 100 different directions than you wanted it to, but yeah.
I mean, but you said, like you said before, you know, the first one is probably the worst one as far as like grammar and stuff like that, but you get better with anything else, you know, the more you do something, the better you get.
Oh, most definitely,
you know?
Yeah. I can definitely say that the Kermode is probably the worst to edit for me because obviously my brain just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, but now it's more methodical. It's more, okay, focus on your writing while you actually write it and then go back and edit it so that there's less mistakes when you edit it. So it's definitely is the worst in terms of grammatical stuff, but I definitely see improvement. Hopefully these future books will be better.
Oh, I mean, it goes with anything, really. The more, like I said, the more you do something, the more you practice and the more you get used to where a comma goes, it becomes more like automatic. Like you automatically put
the
comma there
instead
of having to think
about it. I
don't think
I will ever get used to where a comma goes. Like, I don't think I will ever get used to that. So everyone, there's going to be commas in places you don't want commas in my books. That's just my style. And it's okay. We're going to just oversee that. Because commas are just a pause. I'm just telling you to breathe while you read. Just saying.
You know, you were saying, we were talking about earlier how easy it is to publish something on Amazon. But it's really not that easy. You know, because, I mean, you've got, like I said, it takes a lot of work to edit shit down. Do the grammar and stuff. You really got to be focused and disciplined to get it done. So I guess not anyone could do it. Because you got to have a special kind of discipline to get the book actually published, you know?
Right. Yeah, you have to be able to put in the time. And for any aspiring authors out there who are going through the same struggles as me, one, feel free to connect with me. I'm on Facebook under Author Celestial Ann. So absolutely connect with me. I've been through the Amazon publishing. I'm working on getting through the actual publishing, the traditional publishing, the publishing house. And it's a struggle. But like any artwork, any business, you have to put your heart and soul into it. It's not a halfway thing, especially when you're aspiring to be an author. My dream is to have my books beside James Patterson and Stephen King and J.K. Rowling. Those are my three biggest author influences in the world. Read all the Harry Potters, read almost all of James Patterson's and the never-ending Stephen King books. Like, I think that man writes, like, I think he doesn't sleep. I think he just writes. And they're beautiful. So that's my goal.
Well, I got to cut you short. We're about to get kicked off of here. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I told you it'd be an easy show.
Hey,
you know,
I talked,
10
guys.
Seconds.
This is important. It wasn't silent season tonight.
All right, guys. Yeah, exactly. Right. Mark your calendars. All right, guys. We'll see you next week with Jesse Haley
from
Dead City Lodge. Have a good night. Bye.